There is an all-out gender war in South Korea. Men on social media there slam what they consider materialistic women, or quote, ugly feminists. Women reply, for instance, that alcohol tastes best when served by men. And that's what we're allowed to say because this gets ugly. South Korea is more divided on gender than any other developed country, as young men and women live in increasingly polarized political worlds. NPR's bureau producer in Seoul, Se-un Gong, is with us to talk about it. Welcome.
Hi, Scott.
So I want to ask you about this fascinating chart, which shows that up until, 2005 or so, young men and women in Korea held similar political leanings. And then the chart becomes the mouth of an alligator, you know? Women sharply liberal, men increasingly conservative. How has this shown up in voting and in polling?
So young Korean men and women are voting so differently now that they look like two different generations. Let's look at how they voted for the last presidential election, which was 2 years ago, as an example. Men under 30 were the second most supportive voters for the conservative candidate, Yoon Suk-yeol, who eventually won. Their voting pattern was similar to voters aged 60 and older.
Oh, wow.
However, women under 30 were the least supportive of Yoon among all ages and genders. And we've seen this trend in several major elections in South Korea now. Traditionally, in this country, the most obvious political fault line has been between regions and generations. But among voters in their 20s and, to a lesser degree, 30s, gender has become the new fault line.
Wow. So voters in their 20s, let's talk more about them. As far as women, what has changed for them as far as opportunities in the last generation?
So around the time of the Me Too movement, like in many other countries, South Korea saw a new generation of young feminists emerge. And this is a generation of Korean women who are more educated than their mothers and even their male peers. In South Korea, the college enrollment rate for women started to exceed men's in 2008. But they still see a large gender wage gap. South Korea's gender wage gap is the largest among developed countries. And they also see too few women in positions of power. On the other hand, young men I've talked to say they don't have it any easier than women. You know, growing up, they saw girls in their class getting better grades and being class presidents. So when feminists come out and call for equality, some men see that as an undue demand. And some even think feminists are vilifying men in general. Let's hear from a college student named Chun Ye-sung.
From what I understood through the media, I had the idea that feminism is aggressive and hostile toward men.
He says many young Korean men, including himself, don't even care to understand what feminism is.
South Korea is, of course, not the only place where women have far more opportunities today in education, in the workplace, in politics, and public life. Why do you think it is seeing this political gap that is so much wider than other countries?
One possible reason, experts say, is that South Korea experienced social and economic development very rapidly. But not everything has caught up. For example, gender norms have been much slower to change. Women still shoulder most of the house chores and childcare in South Korea. So there's this mismatch between expectation and reality that's particularly sharp in the young generation. And then there's the issue of compulsory conscription. All able-bodied Korean men have to serve in the military for 18 months, but women don't. And this has constantly been a point of tension between young men and women. And also, it's worth noting that politicians in South Korea have tried to capitalize on the gender conflict. One of President Yoon Suk-yeol's main campaign pledges was that he would abolish the Ministry for Gender Equality.
Wow, interesting. Well, we're seeing similar dynamics, as you may know, here in the United States.
Right.
So you're laying out these stark political differences, differences in worldview. Does this play out in how men and women relate to each other in South Korea? Are they more reluctant, say, to get married? Are they more reluctant to have kids?
Yes, those are all possible implications of this phenomenon. And according to surveys, strong attitudes toward feminism, either for or against, is linked with hesitance about marriage. And South Korea's birth rate, as you would know, is already the lowest in the world.
Yeah.
And second, experts are concerned it can hurt the country's democracy. A polling expert I talked to says attitudes toward feminism not only signal what policies young Koreans support, but also how they feel about the opposite gender in general. He says if the distance between men and women is not only political but emotional, it can make it hard for them to listen to each other and have a conversation. And that's something that's essential for an open democratic society. So South Korea's case can be a lesson to other countries experiencing similar trends.
Yeah. Well, fascinating dynamics. We've been talking to NPR's bureau producer in Seoul, Se-un Gong. Fascinating conversation about gender and political differences there and worldwide. Thanks very much for the time.
Thank you, Scott.